crazy it seems to have a dream to open and run a bakery. But they took a chance, took the sweets to the street. Now they all have places where I'd love to eat.
Hello there, bakeroos and bakerettes. Welcome to the Rise Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Dick, and this is the show about bakers and bakeries and bakery owners and all the folks that work so hard, often through the night, to make the good stuff and to share it with the people in their communities. How are you this week? We are now firmly at the end of summer here out on the west coast of North America. I hope autumn is hitting you in a good spot if you're living in the north. I hope you're all welcoming spring soon down south. No matter where you are in the world, I hope you're having a good week. We are all in for a treat this week because Tisha Huff is back on the show. Tisha, originally from Calgary, and then from Orange Boot Bakery, and then from Night Oven Bakery in Saskatoon, is now back in Calgary, is a pastry chef at a fancy restaurant called Fortuna's Row, and we're going to talk about all of that, the whole restaurant life, in a few minutes' time. So I'm excited for that. It's a really fun talk, lots of laughs, lots of good info, lots of good insights from Tisha, so I think you're really going to like it. Before then, just wanted to give a couple shout outs. I'm a little late getting this show together because Cindy and I, we've both been struggling with COVID for the last few days. It's true. It finally caught up with us, all vaxxed and boosted and all of that, but we got it. Cindy tested positive last Wednesday, and I held out two more days and tested positive on Friday. So I'm just finishing up my isolation time and still feel pretty gross, I must say. My voice, though, has taken on more of a deeper, richer tone, which I'm starting to like. But the coughing and sneezing causes me to pause the recording quite often. And so this is taking longer to record than usual. Yeah, so we've been sick, just hanging out at home. Luckily, we had got a bunch of groceries before we both got sick. And so we just stayed in the apartment for, well, going on 6 days now for Cindy, and haven't left the house, and just kind of hanging out and being sick and taking care of each other as best we can. But we're all getting better, so that's good news. Wanted to give a shout out to Tom and to Hannah and to Canute for the lovely emails over the past week about my dad, checking in on him, checking in on me, talking about what's going on in their worlds. It was nice to hear from you. Lovely to hear from folks that we met either through the show or through Bakers for Bakers and still are staying in touch and stuff. And so that was really sweet and made my week. So thanks. Thanks, you all. What else to mention? Not much else going on, really. I had some stories lined up. I still want to tell you all about Saskatchewan and harvest time, but I'm going to leave that for next week's show because I'm about to sneeze again and I want to get through this intro. So we're going to go do a quick cut here to the talk with Tisha, but here's some setup. So as you know, if you've listened to the show in the past, Tisha was part of the Orange Boot Bakery family back in Regina during our best period, the glorious middle 3 years of Orange Boot. She joined us as an intern when she was still in baking school in Calgary, and then came out to work with us for 3 years after she graduated, and it was a lovely time. We did a lot of fun things. We became close friends, and then she left us and she tried some other things, and then went up to Saskatoon and worked for several years at Night Oven Bakery up there, and now is back home in her hometown of Calgary, Alberta, as the pastry chef at a fine dining restaurant that's just opened called Fortuna's Row, right in the heart of downtown Calgary. Couple of things, just to sort of set up some of the laughs. Some local knowledge is required with it. I usually edit out the in-jokes, but there are a couple in-jokes here that I decided to leave in. We're going to crack up when the restaurant chain Eastside Mario's is mentioned. And you'll wonder what's so darn funny about Eastside Mario's. Well, nothing. There's nothing funny about Eastside Mario's, except that in the year that Orange Boot Bakery opened up in Regina to great fanfare and many happy customers. The mayor of our fine city, an Italian-Canadian named Pat Fiacco, gave his State of the City address. And for some reason, it's not something I'm ever going to watch, but I watched it that year. And he talked about all of the great things that were happening in Regina and all the growth and prosperity that was happening in our fair city. And that included the food scene because, and I was waiting for it because I was kind of pretty proud of our little bakery, because Eastside Mario's opened up in the east end of town. And so that was always the joke that, yeah, our bakery, yeah, it's okay that, you know, we make good stuff, but we're no Eastside Mario's. And so that was the laugh there. And we make a lot of kind of take a round out of chocolate cake in this episode, in this conversation. And I'm going to say up front that we are great lovers of chocolate cake in our house, and we'll never say no to a chocolate cake. But there's a bit of a tradition in certain kind of restaurants in Regina that they don't really make desserts in these restaurants, but they do bring them in. And in fact, when we were back in Saskatchewan just last week, we went to Juliana Pizza, which is one of the traditional Greek-owned Regina-style pizza shops that's been around since the 1970s. And there's one in every little, you know, neighborhood strip mall in the city. And they're awesome. I love them, and I will gladly go all the time because the pizza's great. You know, you can also get your souvlaki on rice, or you can get lasagnas and all of that. It's good family fare. And it's really good working class place, right? Like, we went to eat, and right beside us, there were, you know, three or four old guys started coming in, taking up a table for six. And they'd start with a cup of coffee, and they're just talking about their day. And these are folks, like, they're in their 60s, but they were working. They were working heavy machines and driving trucks and forklifts and that kind of stuff, and talking about whatever work that they were doing. And then they ordered dinner, and that was sort of their evening together before they went home. And it's awesome. And it's been like that since I was a kid in the 70s growing up in Regina. These restaurants have always existed. They're great, and I don't have a bad thing to say about them at all. I love them. But the dessert menu at Juliana Pizza is one thing. And it's a McCain's brand deep and delicious chocolate cake, sort of serves four, and it's straight lifted straight out of the grocery store, thawed. They sell these in all grocery stores in the frozen cake aisle, and in a little foil pan with a plastic top where you can see the little chocolate rosette icing on this chocolate cake. And that is the dessert offering at the Juliana Pizza in Regina, Saskatchewan right now. When we went with Cindy's mom, when we were just there in the last week, and with Cindy's sister Candy, and we had our pizza for supper and the Greek chicken or what have you. I know you're asking, did we get the McCain's deep and delicious chocolate cake at the end of our meal? And yes, we did. And we cut it into four and we ate it, and it was just fine. Let's just say childhood memories scored a lot of the points, but it was good. And so I have nothing bad to say about it. But we do make a few jokes at the expense of a chocolate cake when we talk with Tisha, because she's going in a different direction at this restaurant. And so let's talk about it. It's Tisha Huff, the head pastry chef at Fortunas Row in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Video, because because otherwise she's going to say hi to, like, your your name.
Oh, that's not very fun. Hey, yeah. Hold on, give me 1 second.
Oh, I should. I'm going to change the speakers for a sec here.
Okay.
So that she can hear you. Oh, I know she's packing up. This is the start of the show.
Oh.
So you can just. So that's Cindy over there. Tisha's figuring out how to turn on her video.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. There she is.
Oh no, we can't hear her.
Yeah, because she's on mute again.
Okay.
All right.
Ah, we're good. Yay. Hello. I'm at work. I just got in at work, but I figured that it might be cool if you saw the space.
Yeah.
You would like a tour. Okay. I'll start at the beginning. It's a very large space.
That's a fancy, fancy looking place.
Okay. So the front door, this is one of our reception areas.
Reception Whoa. Area.
Ooh. Yeah. And this is our standing room only. So what we call our SRO. So this is the cocktail bar.
Okay.
I guess. Wow. So like late night kind of chilling. Yep.
Do you plant a couple exceptionally attractive people in the SRO area?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So this is one of the bars here, which wow. looks a little Flintstone-y, but there's a lot of decor that has to go in yet. What else can I say? This is our coat check. All the lights are kind of off.
Coat check area. Oh my God.
Yeah. So coat check.
Well, necessary for Calgary winters.
Yes. And so this is going into our actual main dining area. So this is the other bar here. And this is the big dining area that extends all the way out.
Yeah.
Wow, Tisha, this place is awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's huge.
Yeah.
And this is the line. So this is where all the cooks, you can see our head chef, Miko, and sous chef, Jamie, working.
Yeah.
But oh, this wow. is a big brick charcoal grill that we cook almost basically everything.
That's super cool.
Holy crap. Look at that chimney.
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of the gist of it there. I get shoved into the back, but I have my own pastry section. I guess they like to put the non-attractive people in the back, right? I'm kidding.
This is cool because neither Cindy or I own clothes worthy of that waiting area. So I think they'd find they would be mysteriously full up and would have lost our reservation when we show up. So
right.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it looks fancy, but I mean, it's casual too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get people dressed to the nines and then people with like ball cap, dirty shirt, eating food. So it's okay.
Fantastic.
Wow. Okay. I'll let you do your thing.
All right. Get out of here.
Because if I start asking all the questions, it's all the questions you want to ask.
Well, actually, this might work out
and
well.
And then there's no podcast.
That could be the show. There's been a bit of a break and we now have a new host
that asks
all the questions in real time, not after you listen to the show. And say like, why didn't you ask this? And why didn't you ask that? And
efficient.
Yeah, really should have talked about this. And
it's not that bad.
No, it isn't.
It's just things that I'm curious about. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of like, wait, you didn't ask that question.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, yeah. It's all good.
Okay, you'll just have to come visit. You know, yes. It's good to see you too. I hope you have a good bike ride and that your travels to UK were pretty good.
They were amazing. They were just so awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It was so good to see the kids.
I bet. Yeah. Right.
It's been far away.
Time. Yeah. That is more than a hop and a skip and a jump, you know?
Yeah.
That's really far. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. I'm glad.
Okay. Anyways, you're looking awesome. This place looks fantastic. I hope you're just so happy. And that I will head to my bike.
Okay. You will hear the podcast episode.
Yes. Yes.
Everything will be revealed.
Sounds good.
Bye. Okay. See you.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just starting the day for you?
Pretty much, which is weird. Starting at
working noon. At noon? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you should be going home. What's going
on? Yeah, I should be going home. I agree. I'm just gonna go tell Chef that right, but no.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally agree. It's been a big change. Restaurant life is weird. It's too late for me.
Yeah. You got your whole body tuned to getting up super early, being done, having your afternoons. And sort of, so how late do you go?
It depends. I think a lot of the times we get out probably 1 o'clock in the morning, minimum. depending when everything is done, you know. It's also really strange to like, bakery life was totally different. Like you get in and you like do your like maybe your morning rush and you're just like baking or mixing or whatever have you. And then like towards the end of your day, it kind of slows down, you know, quite a bit. And then you're like, okay, I'm done work. I can go. You're like kind of already relaxed getting out of work. But here it's like you're done service and then you're like, whoa, that was a crazy time. And now I have all this other stuff to do as well. So it's just like go, 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 and then you're done. It's bizarre. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah. And then it's 1 a.m. and you're full of adrenaline. that's why they have after hours clubs, right? Like that's the, I can never figure out why they would have places open after hours, but it's like, cause you got to come down off that high. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. Right. So it's very easy to like sit at the bar and go for a beer or something. And then you realize it's 3 o'clock in the morning. You haven't gotten home yet. Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Gee whiz. I don't know if you remember doing the farmer's market bakes. I was talking with Sandy about this when she was out to visit, and it was you'd put those last loaves in the oven and you'd already be kind of cleaned up and stuff, right? Because you were waiting around for that last bake. And then I would sit down and try not to fall asleep just for that last half hour or the last 20 minutes. Cause really all you got to do is take them out of the oven and then you're done. Right. And I had everything, like I had the floors mopped up to, you know, like
up almost to where there, you're right? working.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so it was like trying to stay awake long enough to get out at the end, which is a totally different energy spike for you. Yeah.
Completely different.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I like it yet. No, that's, I like the work. I enjoy the work a lot. It's the hours that I miss bakery life. I like being in before the sun rises, before anyone's up, you know, you're just chilling, doing your thing, super zen. And then noon hits and you have the whole day. Yeah. Things are open.
Yeah. that's the other thing, right? It's like, you know, you can go anywhere because everything's opened up by noon. Gee whiz. Last time we talked was when we were up in Saskatoon and you were just wrapping things up at Night Oven.
Yeah.
And so then you went to PA for a bit, right? Like Prince Albert?
Yeah.
Were you, and just, it was like to figure out the next thing. How did the next thing go from I'm sitting in PA to like, hey, there's a restaurant in Calgary?
Yeah. That's a big change in itself. So after leaving the Night Oven, I didn't want to admit it, but I think I was dealing with severe burnout, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. And I don't know, sometimes you just make really weird decisions and you're just like, I'm just doing this thing.
Yeah.
And I literally was like, I'm moving more up north to Prince Albert and I'm going to go on EI.
Yeah.
And I am literally going to do nothing, you know? And that's what I did. I had a lot of time, a lot of time. Yeah. It's like 100 to 0 pretty much. And around that time that I moved up to Prince Albert and started my 10 months of chillin', a friend of mine that I know in the industry in Calgary, I've known him for a few years. He actually used to bread bake at Blackbird Bakery in Toronto in the day.
Yeah.
And then moved out to Calgary and has like a taco pop-up shop called Con Me Taco, you know, just killing it. And that's kind of how we met, was like our bread baking overlap. And then of course, whenever I would come back home to Calgary, I would go and eat at his taco shop and we'd hang out and whatever. And so he messaged me about, I can't remember exactly how he started it, but it was like, there might be this thing happening. What do you feel about doing pastry? And I was like, well, what does pastry mean to you? Right? Like, you want me to do croissants, donuts, you know, like the bread aspect of things? Yeah, absolutely. I'm into it. But what do you mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I have this opportunity to be head chef of a new restaurant going up. And he's like, I don't want to pursue this opportunity unless I have you on my team.
Wow. Cool.
And I was like, oh, so like, pastry, like restaurant life pastry. Oh, okay. Something I've never done before. Like, what? Like, and so he, you know, he would kind of bug me about it. Like, keep giving me information. You know, what do you think? You should do this. You can do this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, really, really, really bumping me up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'm just like, no, I can't do that. I've never done that. I haven't touched pastry in 10 years, man. Like, I don't know. And so it took a long time for me to actually even just entertain the idea mm-hmm. of doing it. But he, again, just kept bugging me, just kept bugging me about it. And anytime I would come visit Calgary, I, at the time, was making ice cream right out of my basement and selling it to friends, you know, and so
like you do, right?
As you do, right? As you do. So I did my dank basement ice cream little project. And anytime I would come home, I would make ice cream and give it to him. Well, it just so happens that he would give pints of ice cream to the owner of this restaurant. And it kind of just blossomed from there. Like, he really hounded me to get in here. I think it was the ice cream that got me the job, honestly, which was kind of weird. You know, it's contemporary Latin American, first of all. So it's something I don't know what that means. Right. Like, yeah. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that entails.
You're gonna serve them what, churros? Like, oh my god! Like,
right?
That, like you churro? Could you could offend a lot of people just with
exactly. Yeah. So that's part of it. Where I was like, I think you should find, like, I don't know, a chef that's familiar with this stuff. Like, I don't know anything. And he's like, no, like, I want you on my team.
Oh, cool.
Of course. Making that decision to leave a place that you've lived in, like the province of Saskatchewan,
yeah, yeah.
for 10 years, a decade.
Oh my God, hey.
Yeah, 10 years, Mark. That's how long it has been since I first stepped foot into Orange Bay.
From a tweet. Yeah.
From a tweet of all things. Yeah, asking about like blueberry muffins or something. Like, it's crazy. But so it's not an easy decision when you have like a partner. Yeah. You know, that you've built a life with and
yeah.
your independence and literally being like, oh, I'm just going to go move home back in with my parents and pursue this questionable restaurant thing.
So did Andy stay in Prince Albert?
Yeah, he's in Prince Albert.
Okay. Because
at the time he's also doing school for forestry right now.
Yeah.
And pursuing that. So he's going through a big career change and also absolutely killing it and loving it. So yeah, that was the biggest thing, right? It's like, oh, I'd have to move back home. He has to stay here. We're both very career focused.
Yeah.
Right. That's a big change. And that's not a decision that you can take lightly.
No,
you
know? No, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I sat in Prince Albert doing nothing for almost 10 months. And so I was like, well, I got nothing else going on. So yeah, I guess,
yeah,
I'm gonna whole ass it, you know. I'll take the job.
Yeah,
you know, I'll pursue it.
Yeah, hell, I'm the only restaurant in PA that was worth a salt closed anyways, right? So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, yikes. Yeah, that's for a food person, that's a tough shift.
That was a tough shift. Yeah, even just moving from Saskatoon to yeah. Prince Albert.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because I think you know, like, my sister lives up in Prince Albert, right? And she doesn't it's Walmarts and that kind of stuff, right?
Grain fields.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's not a serious food town. So yeah, and so you're back in with the folks.
I'm back in with my parents.
And yeah. How's that going?
They are so okay. They don't show a whole lot of emotion, but they're freaking excited.
Yeah.
You know, their oldest daughter is coming back home and legit living in the spare bedroom.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, they're really happy.
Good. It could have gone another way, but no. Well, I know it was like, because when you moved out, you were so young, right? Like, it's like Robin going to the UK. You're like, geez, Louise, what are you doing? And that kind of thing. So to have you nearby would have been awesome. Have you right there? Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big shift, you know. And I'm sure seeing your oldest or any of your kids like move away for a long period of time, that's
crushing.
It's crushing, right? Yeah, well, yeah, I don't want to say it, but it is.
No, it is. It is because, yeah. And it's so goofy because you, like Cindy and I were talking about this, especially, you know, having just gone out and seen both of them, that mm-hmm. it's like, I get where these old Greek guys, where their head's at, where that's like, you know, the everyone stays in town. Like back in Regina, like my old barber, you know, all of his kids are all in the city and they're all living their own lives and stuff. But every Sunday they're all at his place, you know, and they're all coming for Sunday dinner and you get caught up and then you go off and do it. And we didn't do that so much in our family, you know, like we stayed in Saskatchewan, but even my folks moved back to Moose Jaw and, you know, my sister moved to Prince Albert and now the kids have gone a little further afield again. And it's like, yeah, I get it. It's like, you want the kids to live their own lives, but it would be nice to see them every couple of weeks as opposed to once a year, you know, and yeah. Like when we were out to see Robin, it was like, okay, like what needs doing, right? You need this thing assembled or you need this thing fixed. Cause you know, or what, because when you're all living close together, you can, well, yeah, I'll pop over. We can fix that. You know, like I bought her a screwdriver cause she was trying to assemble a barbecue with something that was just slightly larger than optometrist screwdrivers and stuff. Right. It's like, oh, come on, let's go to the hardware store, spend $3 and get you a proper screwdriver, you know?
So you dadded hard.
Oh, I dadded hard for 8 days. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But it's like, but that's the thing. Right. And so, yeah. So having you back, there's gotta be pretty cool. And you know, yeah. If there's leftovers, that's never a bad thing either. Yeah.
That's never a bad thing. No, never. I even, it's funny because my parents don't have air conditioning
right
in their home. And they have like, I'm in the hottest room of the house. Like,
yeah,
it's like 5 a.m. and the sun's just blaring, like cooking me as I'm trying to sleep, you know, my 3 hours of sleep since I've gotten home from the restaurant. And I got a text and he's like, AC is set up in your room. And I was like, yes. Thank you, Dad.
That's awesome.
So, you know, even at 30, like dads are going to dad, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, my God. Didn't your folks have a fire years back? Is this the same house you grew up in or did they have to move?
Oh, no. No, they moved.
Okay.
So the fire happened literally right a few months, maybe a month or so, right before I actually went on my internship to Orange Butte. So we were living in a temp house at the mm-hmm. time, which was like a wild, like you have this house fire, which is traumatizing. You have your stuff is everywhere in some sort of restoration mm-hmm. warehouse, you know, and then you get shoved into this temporary home with like some of your things and then being like, okay, I'm leaving for a couple months or whatever. And coming back into our old house. And so when I moved away to Regina for like after my internship, a few years after that, they actually bought this new house.
Oh, okay.
So I wasn't even like, I don't have a room in the house, you know?
You're not in your old bedroom and stuff. Yeah.
No. And none of my junk is there. You know, I have all my junk
now. Right. Well, I don't know. I have to think that'd be better. I think that'd be a little strange.
Yeah.
Sleeping in the room where you were a child.
Yeah, I don't. I'm glad that they have this house and I get the spare room. Yeah. Cool.
And whereabouts in Calgary is the restaurant then?
So we always describe it as it's the same building as Booker's Barbecue because Booker's was a very long-standing Calgary establishment that everybody seems to know. And I'm not sure exactly what happened, but I don't think they got out of COVID very well.
Mm.
So it's on Riverfront Ave. So literally like the river is right there. Really, really beautiful location.
And kind of like close to downtown?
Oh yeah. Very close. Yeah. So if you know the Simmons building where Sidewalk Citizen Bakery and Phil and Sebastian Coffee Roasters, I think it's Char Cut. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. Oh, I know Phil and Sebastian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like literally just maybe a block down. Yeah, pretty cool location.
But you're right in the center of the city now, for working, anyways. Yeah, for working.
I would say more central, which is nice actually to be in a city that way. You know, you go from like super hermit lifestyle and then shoved into this super social, people everywhere lifestyle. Yeah. It's pretty wild.
So, and so how long has the restaurant been open now?
Well, if I had any recollection of time at this moment, I would be able to say it's been crazy.
Has it been 2 months?
No, it's about 3 weeks, I think, officially.
It's been really close. Yeah.
Yeah. Like officially open 3 weeks. But of course, before that, we had been working on things.
Right.
As you do. Yeah. Opening up. But as for open for service, yeah, I would say about three and a half weeks.
Yeah. And have you been getting slammed with people?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's been pretty, pretty crazy. I mean, I think even crazier right now because, like everywhere else that's felt in the industry, everybody's short staffed.
Right.
You know, so hard finding staff. So it feels like we're extremely slammed, but I think in reality, if we were fully staffed, it might be like a normal, normal service time, you know? But like the response has been great. You know, the age of social media, you start to see it everywhere. So you see your creations on there, you see people enjoying it, you know,
that's always
really nice.
Yeah. And tell me a bit about the things that you're creating. What does pastry look like now for you?
Wow. Okay. So what does pastry look like to a pastry chef who has never worked in a restaurant before? That's something that I, again, spent a lot of my EI time thinking about and researching, I guess. When you go out to a restaurant and you have your meal, mm-hmm. and you have your cocktails and your drink and whatever, and then you get offered the dessert menu. How many times do you actually order dessert?
Well, that's a good question. In with Cindy and I, if we really enjoyed the meal and the dessert menu looks interesting, always, but usually we'll share something. Almost always, especially if it's a kind of restaurant like I imagine yours is, where, you know, the dessert menu is not going to have apple crumble in a mason jar. So, you know,
joke's on you, Mark. Guess what I make?
Let's see. You're gonna have a brownie in a skillet. You're gonna, you know, like
a scoop of ice cream.
And baklava.
No shade on baklava. I would order
no shade on it. But it's like, you know, like if it's a place where you know that it actually got made in the back as opposed to brought in, we're in. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. That's sort of my joke, is that I think I can imagine all the mason jars coming off the back of a truck.
Yeah, that's so funny. Okay, so exactly that, right?
Yeah.
So, dessert is what? Chocolate cake, creme brulee,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
That's not how I roll.
A scoop of sherbet.
Yeah. a scoop of sherbet. Yeah. That's not happening. So, for someone who also didn't really eat dessert at restaurants, uh-huh. I don't know. I have no idea what people like. I have no idea what people order. I don't even know what people are doing uh-huh. in a restaurant at all. So I pretty much just like, okay, well, I'm just going to do what I think I should do and what I want to do, pretty much. So I don't like gelatin that much in desserts. So I don't want to do molded pastries or molded mousses that you slap on a plate, throw some sauce on it, couple berries, you know, and call it fancy. So I think that kind of stuff, like, again, no shade on that style. I know, but I'm going to put a little shade on it because I think it's very artistic. It's very technical. It's very beautiful. For me, it's boring. And I think overdone and dry, really. I like finishing my plate. And if someone's painting sauce on it or chocolate, like, I want to lick that plate. And I'm not going to do that in the restaurant while I'm dining. So I guess pastry or desserts to me is something that is familiar, but will challenge your palate.
Okay.
Yeah. So for example, one of our desserts, or I should say one of my desserts that I've I do or chose to do is something called Miloja, which is a take on the millefeuille, so the French Napoleon slice, quotation marks. So something that is obviously familiar to a lot of places around the world. It's puff pastry, it's some sort of cream, whatever have you, it's delicious, right? So this, what I've done is, you know, put dos de leche on it. I hand make my puff pastry. The pastry cream that I make will have piloncillo in it. So like actually using Latin ingredients as well, but then throwing curveball in it with putting walnut and black pepper together in praline form and ice cream form in it, right? So something that's just that tiny little bit of, oh, that's interesting, but I really enjoy this dessert still, you know?
So it's like, okay, it's familiar and you can tell some thoughts gone into this.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Challenging. Yeah. I know Miko, he was like, you should make a cheese dessert. And I was like, what? I mean, like, okay, sure, I'll entertain that. So one of like the most mind-blowing desserts that we have right now is literally called queso. And so I made a, it's going to sound terrible, but I made almost like a Parmesan mousse.
Okay.
So, right. So it's like this weird, funky, creamy, I'm really selling it. Funky, creamy, savory mousse.
Yeah.
And put a white chocolate and goat cheese crème on top. So something that's like funky, but then you have this sweet, tanginess to it.
Right.
And then topped it with roasted pineapple, an orange granita, and some guava honey, and then a crispy cheese, right? Like the best part of like pizza to me,
yeah.
Like a crispy cheese slice. And so put that on top. So you crack into it and you're like, whoa, what is this? Because I'm tasting funky cheese. I'm tasting fruit. It's cold. And when you mix it together, it's like, oh, this is like a funky, like orange creamsicle dessert. I don't know how to think about it. Then there's this crispy cheese. So it's like a weird, it's a play on like a fruit and cheese plate in one spoonful, you know, but it's dessert.
Right.
Yeah. It's hard to explain without like actually just, you got to eat it, you know?
Yeah, but I see what you're where you're going with that, and then because you've got to tie in the a little bit of a nod towards the Latin contemporary Latin side of things as well, right? So
yeah. At least something that the challenge is matching the food, right? Like I believe that any diner that comes in or any guest that comes in should have their meal and enjoy it, but also be like, yes, I will get dessert.
Yeah.
The rest of the meal was so delicious and the cocktail was so delicious. Yeah, not here slapping on a dessert menu and, you know, you order chocolate cake.
Yeah, or or when you mentioned cheese, it's like, oh yeah, I could do a cheesecake and with seasonal fruit, you know.
Yeah, with seasonal fruit, yeah. Right. Ask about our seasonal cheesecake, you know.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Man, you can go anywhere for seasonal cheesecake. Like, I'm not doing that. There's no way.
But that's exactly the point. Well, then, and you said it, you went there and I never even thought to go there, but you're right. Like, you've got to line it up with the rest of the vibe of the restaurant or sort of the level of the restaurant, I guess, in terms of whether it's complexity or freshness or whatever lever that you're pulling on there, it's got to line up, right?
It's got to line up. And
in the same way, you know, the Houston pizza on the corner can't be doing those kind of desserts because when their only salad is Caesar, you're not going to, but that's kind of the thing. It's got to line up.
Got to match it. Yeah. And that's one of the challenges too, that, you know, having discussions with Miko about this and what his vision is, you know, and how do I play into that? How can I let myself blossom in what I want to do but also match what his vision is, you know, and having those discussions was pretty eye-opening because you talk about you're always going to talk about other restaurants,
not
only locally, but around the world, whatever have you. And you'll be like, well, this place is doing this. And then here's their dessert menu. And you're like, well, here's this extremely high-end restaurant that is booked months and months and months and months in advance. and this is what they have for dessert. And it's like, well, if you can order, like, for example, like if you can order Wagyu beef on the menu, and then your one of your dessert options, I'm going to keep throwing chocolate cake at it because like it's chocolate cake, you know? And so if you can order like Wagyu steak or whatever and spend $400 on your meal, and then your option is chocolate cake, like that's kind of disappointing to me. I mean, I'm going to eat it and I'm going to enjoy it, but you know, I'd rather it match, you know, that Wagyu beef somehow, not that you can't, but I mean, you know what I mean?
But and then take it out further and say, like, if you're doing like exotic foams or whatever, that
exactly
that doesn't match the rest of the restaurant either. It's like, you kind of, it's just got to line up. Yeah. So would you consider what you're doing at the restaurant fine dining?
I would say fine dining. The price point definitely suggests that.
Yeah.
Again, part of the culture that we're trying to develop here for guests is also sharing, right? So we're bringing people together. You share a plate, like everything is very shareable, because that's one of the best things about being a human is sharing food, right? That's why we do it. So what better way than to actually have people around a table sharing plates, right? That plates that are, again, challenging your palate are absolutely freaking delicious, you know, very flavorful, very, I would say, innovative, but again, approachable and familiar, you know, those kinds of things. Sorry, I forgot the question, Mark.
Oh, no, we were just asking about fine dining or sort of something else, you know? Yeah. I'm throwing genres off the wagon, right? You know, country casual, nope. It's like family dining, nope.
Right? It's very casual. That gives me the next idea.
Yeah,
exactly. Country casual. That's really funny. So it's interesting because I think people have this idea of fine dining still as like that white tablecloth hoopla from the 80s, you know, fine dining isn't that anymore. I mean, like, yeah, you'll still go into a restaurant where that is fine dining. Right. But I think as the food industry progresses, fine dining, you can go in with like sneakers and a t-shirt and have an extremely delicious meal. Mm-hmm. And that's fine dining. You know, you can also go into Houston Pizza with sneakers and a t-shirt and get whatever it is that they serve, right?
Yeah, the all dressed. Yeah.
The all dressed. Exactly. The all dressed. Exactly. Or their breakfast brunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
The gold one. Yeah. So yeah, fine dining. I think it should just be like, we don't go into this industry just to with dollar signs in our eyes. Right.
Jeez. No,
no.
I've yet to find the combo that works. Right. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I'm assuming you're able to make a living, but,
And that's the other thing though, too, is, this is the most I've ever been paid in the industry. So it was hard not to say yes. So, I mean, being involved with a group that actively is changing the industry in their own way, you know, paying proper living wages, I have benefits that started from the get-go.
Nice.
You know, just those kinds of things is like, that's valuable. That is very valuable. And you got to keep staff somehow, pay them well, pay them what they're worth, give them benefits.
Well, and do you know, like, does the ownership group here, like, isn't their first go at it, I'm assuming too, right?
No. So it is a hospitality group, but it's a very small one. We have a sister company called Orchard, which is like a small, like, if you can Instagram these places and see, very beautiful inside. It's quite the experience to dine there. And the first project that they had is called Shelter, which was a cocktail bar. Very small, 20 seater. And it pretty much harbored a lot of pop-ups. Mm-hmm. So a lot of food pop-ups. That's how Con Me Taco. So that's how Nico kind of explored and blossomed as well, is doing pop-ups out of Shelter. So you can see these connections, right?
Yep.
The owner, Nick, who he has an eye for those things. You know, he sees potential in places, he sees potential in people, and he actively wants to create something where these people can really flourish, you know, and create something special alongside him. Right.
Right.
So I think that's pretty special in itself.
Absolutely. And you're, I think you're able to do that when you've got sort of the systems in place, is like, we can, all that stuff that has to happen at a restaurant or a bakery, but it's a pain in the butt to set up. Like, they've got it figured out. Right. So
yeah.
Cause like Ben in Glasgow got a part-time job working at the bar at a restaurant right near the train station in Glasgow. And it's this kind of fancy cocktail bar thing. And he shuttles drinks. He says he runs laps for 10 hours a day, just drink order, fill drinks. And that's his gig. And so he's happy.
Yeah.
But that restaurant is part of a group that has like 5 or 6 restaurants in Glasgow, and they're used to working with students, you know, like grad students, like adult students, you know, they've got, you know, now 50, 60, 100 employees across these different restaurants. So they've got it figured out. Right. So when he needs time off for work placement at school or time off for finals, like, yeah, of course, everybody does. And they've got that capacity to fill in the gaps in a way you go. And, you know, and we went there with him when we were visiting and met some of his coworkers and stuff. And one, it was her last day, cause she was going back home, but, oh, they've got restaurants over here. If you ever need a job over here, we'll get you on at these places. And so it easier. Well, I still can't get my head around the leap from what we did together to something like that, where you have all of that in place, but it's like, yeah, like it, you get to pursue a theme, you know, cause you know, you've got this sort of foundation built already. Yeah.
But that's exactly it. I think it's, so even like, for example, let's say if Orange Boot was still around, still thriving, it's like, well, it's been however many years, what would those next steps be? It would be like a natural progression, really. Like, you're just like, oh, okay, well, here's our next step. How do we pursue it? You kind of just figure it out.
Oh yeah.
As you go. Right. And take it seriously.
And it does take that time to build it. Like, even when I worked for that little bit at Sky Restaurant in Regina, working for Milton Bello. Right. And you know, he worked all over the world as a chef and Hotel Sask and at the country club and all that. But then when he opened up his own place, well, a lot of the systems were in place, but now it's his own place, and it's like 6 people kind of making it all work, right? And it's good. He's, you know, and now it's been another 5-6 years, and I, through Instagram and all of that, like, they're killing it, and he's branching out, and, you know, and he's doing that, but you can't do all of that on day one, right? Like, it's so long on day one.
Or by yourself, really. I think people think that they can do it by themselves, and like, you're kidding yourself, man. Like, that is a one-way ticket to crash and burn. You have to bring those people, those like-minded people that you get along with, whatever have you, to progress with you, right?
Totally. So,
like, Nick isn't a chef, you know?
Yeah.
He builds experiences, right? And so he will take on a person, you know, through partnership or whatever have you, who he sees that potential in and is like, do you want to come along with me? Do you want to build this thing together?
Totally.
Right. And I think it's smart to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it's so hard to do that from behind the bench or behind the stove, right? Like, you know, like that, and that's the, you know, because we do that a lot. If I had to do it all over again, or if I was going to do it all over again, I wouldn't start the way I started before. Like, you've got to go a step further. And that means, you know, in my case, deciding right off the hop, whether or not am I the guy behind holding the knives, or am I the guy running the business, and I'm not doing both again. Because you can only then, you can only do so much, right? And then
exactly, you're capping yourself off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a hard ceiling for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that too, because like, I want to be behind the bench. Like, I enjoy that so much, you know, and behind the bench, I mean, like, I like shaping bread. I like mixing bread. I like touching it. I like baking it, you know, And I think it would, it's a hard balance, right? Cause you want your hands in that stuff. You want to harbor that skill that you've built so long. You've spent so much time building in yourself and enjoying the work. And then you're like, oh, wait a second. But now I'm also a business owner and I got to go and do all these other things, right, to keep this business going.
Well, and I want to, you know, I will open this up to emails from people saying you've got it all wrong. Yeah. And there are, you know, here you. I'm living proof that it's different, but for the way I've been framing it is I've only got so many things that I can go deep on. Right. And even like, big, like you're right. I love being around the bench. I love the spirit of it. I love doing that work, but it's like, heck, when you moved to Saskatoon, you were stronger than I was in terms of what you could do, you know, and then took it further. Right. Or, and the work that you're doing now, like, oh, it, the act of making the desserts you're making might be a pile of fun, but it requires experience and research and that creativity to come up with what it is you're going to do. And then the systems to make it happen and stuff. And it's like, nah, I'm like, that's a world away from where my head's at now. And yet the business side of stuff fascinates me to no end. And I can go deep on that. Right. And so, yeah. And it's so difficult to try and go deep in any walk of life to go deep in multiple areas. And you're better off just building the team that can do that.
Yeah, that too. And I, one of the things that I, that's a challenge, I guess, to me, or something that I'm trying to overcome is, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, is comparing yourself to others.
Right? Sure.
So you see a lot of pastry chefs or bakery owners or business owners, and you're like, man, like I've done all of these things, and yet here's this person that has built this business that's seemingly thriving, you know, and I can do that. I know I can do that. Why am I not there yet? You know, and you just get wrapped in your head about those things, comparing yourself to others, where one of the things that I've had to actually like sit down and like give myself a little bit of a pep talk about is being like, hey, you are working and you are gaining experience.
Yep.
In a multitude of ways. Okay. I've done a few different gigs, you know,
and started a few as well. Right. Yeah.
Started a few. Yeah. Gigs. Right. And doing those kinds of things. So it's a lot of different experiences and learning experiences that I have under my belt. It's not, hey, I did this pop-up this time and now I'm going to build a business around that with no other experience other than hype over a pop-up. You know,
right.
So that's one of the biggest challenges that I think I have that I'm trying to overcome as well. But even now stepping into the pastry world, I find that it's easier because I haven't been involved with that at all. Like at all. I don't know any pastry chefs. I don't know any head pastry chefs. I'm just doing.
You don't know who you should be comparing to and getting upset about yet. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yet. Yeah. Let's hope yet doesn't happen, but you know what I mean? It's when you're involved in an industry or a certain craft for so long, Of course you compare yourself to others and their experiences and what they were able to do and accomplish. And then you're like, well, what the heck am I doing? You got to take a step back and still appreciate it. But
oh yeah. Well, hell. And if I got to talk to you every couple of months, just to give you that reminder, I'm glad to, because you blow me every time I talk to you or find out what's going on. It's like, holy crap. Good for you. Like, it's like,
thank you.
And when you're in it day to day, like you can't see progress. You can't see that kind of stuff, but it's like I'm the lucky guy in this relationship. Cause I remember you at, you know, 22 doing the internship and all every time I see you since. And it's like, oh no, there's progress. There's
thank goodness.
Even your Instagram stuff, right? Which I stay away from Instagram. Cause that's my comparison trap It's the worst. It's like, I think in a perfect world, because you talked about it earlier about how, well, if you see on social media, people are enjoying the desserts, right? Because you can get some direct feedback maybe. And then you see that sort of follow on as they're posting.
Yeah.
But I think you need someone else in the restaurant group doing that research. I agree. Like it's even with this podcast, it's like, I think I would be a lot better off if I had someone else doing all the posts and I just never go on there. Cause it's just, I can't help myself. It's just,
it's so consuming. And
I see a rye loaf. I haven't made rye in forever. I see a rye loaf. I said, oh man, that's so much better than anything I've ever made. And it's like, yeah, okay. And you also haven't made a rye loaf in 2 years. You haven't even wanted to make one. Why are you upset now? Right? Like it makes no sense. Or
it's silly.
Oh, that's such a great stencil. Oh, what an idea, you know? And I'm like, oh, for the love of God. Like,
right. It's terrible. It's terrible. I agree. Yeah. Social media can be that double-edged sword.
Yeah. And so just get the summary report from whoever your social media quotes are. I'll just show me the graph or whatever. Things are good.
100%. Yeah. And that's the biggest thing that I'm not, well, coming into a hospitality group. Okay. So again, it's things that I'm not used to, and nor do I don't ever want to have to deal with this. I don't like schmoozing people so that they can write an article or post on Instagram or post on TikTok about what we're doing. I don't enjoy that. I think I might be too much of an authentic, genuine person to you know, get behind that, I guess. I understand the value. I understand why people do it. It's just not for me. But seeing how you have to, I guess nowadays, take that into consideration, or at least take it a little bit seriously, is a bit more eye-opening to me. It's just interesting. I don't like, because, you know, you're not going to like post on TikTok or whatever. I don't have TikTok. I don't even understand it half the time. But, you know, people will post on it and they're just like super jazzed about something. And it's like, okay, I know you're doing this for social media. Like, what do you as a person actually think about this thing that I'm putting in front of you and you're eating?
Yeah. But it's no different now than back at the bakery when, you know, CTV morning news would come in and the host is going to try and braid a challah and we're trying to get production out, but they're live at 7:30 and you're like, and you and Sandy are like just out of shot, rolling your eyes, say like, I have actual work to do here.
We're
pandering to the morning news show. And now everybody's the morning news show. It's like, you know, it's like, And so it's sort of like, yeah, okay. Somebody else find these folks. I'll be nice to them when they come in, but then let me get back to work. And I've, you know, yeah. It's
weird.
It's so weird. And it's tough too, because if I'm thinking like your owners and you've been open like that first month and you need that hype at the start.
Yes.
Because you're going to ride that wave and then you need that enough people to get you through winter or whatever the non-hype cycle is. Right. And then you'll have another hype cycle around something, and you want the hype to be big enough, but not too big. Cause it's kind of, you know, there was when we were in London and Robin and Cindy and I went to Camden Market and there was a booth there that was making Korean corn dogs. And they were all the rage on TikTok, I guess.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to figure out how in the hell to find this booth, and we found it, right? And it was a stonking hot day. And these are all heavy cheese corn dogs, right? And so we're never going to eat them because you're just going to get sick on a day like that. But you couldn't get close to the place anyways, because everyone on TikTok was there. And I'm kind of like, you can only make 25 a day or however many you make. I don't understand the advantage of having 1,000 people outside your booth, because you can't satisfy them all anyways. But that's the game I can't play, right?
Like, it's the hyper-inflated hype.
Yeah.
Right. That is now another, I find that's another challenge to navigate. Is this legit? Is this legit? And will these people be returning customers, you know, or returning guests on a regular basis? Or are they just here because something was hyped up?
And I think the game is like, and sort of classic marketing kind of thing is you need the hype from the TikTokers, which is going to get the attention of the Calgary Herald, which is going to get the people with the real money to come in and sustain you guys. So the real game here is the, whether it's the business guys impressing clients or, you know, whoever are the people that consistently have a couple hundred bucks to spend on dinner and are going to do that, what old retired guy, whatever it happens to be, you know, whatever your sweet spot is for people. But it actually isn't the TikTokers in month three, but it sure as hell is in those first couple of months, because you've got to, you know, my buddy Seth would say that there are people that won't go to your restaurant until it gets the good write-up in the Calgary Herald. And so everything you're doing at the start is to get that article in his case would be the New York Times, right? But yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. But that's the and the sustainability comes from the people that only go to restaurants in the New York Times. Yeah. And so
it's a weird thing to navigate because you need it. Right. Exactly. As you said, you need this hype, you need the attention, you need people talking about the place to get people in the door. I think the saddest thing to me would be like having all this hype, and then have your restaurant or whatever, your food stall, whatever it is that gets this hype, doesn't have the substance or the consistency, you know, it's just a pretty picture like that. That's the saddest thing in the world, you know? And
yeah, because you can make a pretty photograph of stuff that doesn't taste good, right?
Like, but that doesn't taste good, right?
That's a whole other skill set is to take the photo. Yeah, it's true. As I go through my archives and realize, oh, geez, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned the Calgary Herald because we were just in the Calgary Herald not too long ago. Yeah. So that was pretty interesting. And then we're like, oh, wait a second, who reads newspapers still nowadays? You know, and what do you think happened? It was all, you know, like the older generations of folks coming in. And it was interesting because it's just interesting when you see generational things like that happen, because then, you know, this newspaper came out, people read about it. They're like, oh, you know, they're interested in the food. So they're like, hey, I'm going to go to this restaurant and I'm going to try it, right? Classic marketing. And all of us, so we at the restaurant, I also do a bread plate. So I do breads and spreads, you know, and that changes as I feel like. And so I'll actually be changing it soon enough to be a little bit more on the breads. I'm going to flex my bread skills here. So anyway, so the bread plate, right? And you know, older folks are like, yeah, I'll get the bread plate. And I kept getting orders, or like, not even orders. We didn't even have a button for this, but I kept getting servers coming in the back and like, can I have some butter? And I was like, why? Why do you need a thing of butter? And they're like, well, you know, a guest is asking for a thing of butter for their bread plate. And I was like, what? Like, it has spreads that you eat it with. Why do they need butter? Like, I couldn't wrap my head around it, because one of the breads that I serve is a rye bolillo. So just like a little rye crusty roll. You know, it's enriched. So it's, you know, a little bit of sugar. You got your butter on it already. And I serve that with whipped pork lard. Whipped pork lard. So instead of butter, I'm serving it with like pork lard. And they still ask for butter. And I was like, oh, of course, because bread and butter, like this is what people are used to having on when you go to Eastside Mario's. You have like
Eastside Mario's. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So
oh,
I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Milton used to get that at Sky because they would do the brunch and they'd have kids come in and he didn't have any ketchup. And it was like, he needed ketchup. And so then he was like, okay, I'm going to make my own ketchup. We'll, and it's like, no, the kids just want the They just want the Heinz, man.
Heinz, man.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and then you find your people, you know, over time, right? But we used to get that, like, with other stuff where I was, like, volunteering or whatever, and, you know, every year they would go on Access Cable News at Noon crazy show or whatever, and you give the little talk, and you're like, nobody watches this. And the number of people would come into the shop and say, oh, I saw you on Access Cable.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, all right. It's a whole other world out there that is still rocking it like it's 73.
100%. Yeah. And then you got the late, you know, 2000s of TikTok and whatever else. It's an interesting thing to have to deal with. Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Tisha. Working with cheese, making memes, making the good food.
killing it every day.
Yeah. Good for you. I'm so happy. I'm really happy for you for so many reasons, like getting to go back home, trying something completely different and sinking your teeth into that. Like, and also just hearing you talk about the chef that you're working with and the ownership group and stuff, it sounds like you've really got a good group of people to work with. And so that's like, what more can you ask for, right? Doing interesting things and creative with good teammates. Hey, like, that's a winner.
Absolutely. I think it's something, like, again, I haven't experienced this in my career. You know, this is the first time for a lot of things. Working with like small businesses, you know, that's essentially what I'm used to dealing with and working alongside, and going into a hospitality group. That's not like, there's not an air of corporateness around this hospitality group at all. And I hope it doesn't, you know, progress into something like that, but it's a big change. Yeah. It's a big change.
Sure. Oh yeah,
totally. And what's really nice too, is they're still open to doing new things, you know, like we are a brunch club, so we will be starting brunch soon, hopefully. And again, I'm just like, we're doing pastries, like we're doing donuts, we're doing, like, we're doing it, you know. I'm gonna turn weekends into like a mini bakery here, you know.
if you start making the sourdough donuts like you did in Regina, I'm coming out. That's still the best donut I ever had.
Oh,
that's like that's no, I'm not. I'm not snowing you here. That we do that all the time. We go to a donut place, and it's like yeah, okay, yeah, it's good. It's not like Tisha's though. So
my goodness, I hope I can like still deliver. Oh, all these years later.
Well, we'll tell you did no matter what. So it's good.
Mark, what did we just talk about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, I got it. Yeah, as soon as I got to invent some dance moves to put over top of the video that I shoot about your donuts, and then we're good.
I can't wait. I look forward to it.
Cool. Well, hey,
that's so funny.
You've given me a apologies to all the relatives that I have that live in Calgary. You've given me a reason to come to Calgary. I gotta come see you. And
it's, don't come at me.
Yeah. Thanks for the catch up, my friend. It's been so cool to talk to you.
Yeah. It's been cool. I would really love to have you and Cindy, and of course, like Ben and Robin, but I know they're literally across the world. But it would be awesome if you guys came and dined here, like, and just saw what it was all about. Cause you've done a lot of travels, right? Too. So just comparing food from all around the world that you've had, and then coming back to, you know, Calgary, and just seeing how that matches up, is, that would be cool. Yeah. One of every dessert.
Oh yeah. Exactly. we're going to be the guys. We'll try the bread plate, and well, I guess we could split a main and then give me the list. I want top to bottom on the dessert list for sure.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I always get a thrill when people come in and they're like, we'll just order one of every dessert. I heard you have a great pastry chef. And I'm like, oh, they're talking about me.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, it's so exciting. I think that's just the best feeling in the world, is having people I know or people I don't know enjoying literally what I'm doing. You put your heart and soul into everything that you put out. Like, you're putting a piece of you out there on that plate, you know, without, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing we didn't talk about. And I know you're busy, but it's like, you have the chance for more instant feedback here because folks aren't taking it home to eat it over the next couple of days, right?
Yeah.
So that's got to be fun.
It's instant, right? Like the second that that spoon or fork hits that person's mouth, like they're going to decide whether they kind of like it or not, you know? That's one of the scariest things that I think I've had to overcome is being like I'll come out onto line and I'll just be like watching people. Like, are they smiling when they're eating my dessert? I don't know. You know, just being a total creep.
Are they eating it all? Is it like,
I need to see, like, I need to know, are you liking, do you like that? What don't you like about it? What do you like about it? Like, I'm constantly asking for that feedback and I just want to do better, you know? And bread is like, you make bread and like people will most likely eat it, you know, unless you burn it, quotation marks, burn it, you know, those kinds of things. But yeah, having a composed dessert that, I don't know, some people, it's disheartening when people don't like it, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah. It's sort of like, I guess that wasn't for you, you know?
That was, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you should have tried the cake.
You should. Yeah. Okay. Like that. You should have had the chocolate cake. That's so funny. No, but it's exciting. I think I get a thrill of people out of people actually enjoying dessert. Because again, like you are, someone famous once said, like the diner's already full by the time they get to dessert. So it's got to be pretty mind-blowing, I guess, in a sense, or whatever. But yeah, having that instant gratification is intense. I don't know how the chefs do it, honestly, when you get like a steak that comes back because it's overcooked. Yeah. Or not. Yeah. Cooked enough. Or
yeah, well, once the Herald came out and you're all getting well done orders and stuff, and yeah. Yeah.
I think, oh, that's why I'm missing my shoe. I think we had to slice that up and serve it.
Burning another bridge here with the Calgary Herald. I apologize. But
I'm sure they know their audience. Come on. They know who they're
exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Tisha. Appreciate this. I really do.
I appreciate the talk too. I think it's exciting. It's exciting to talk about the next thing and reflect. I actually listened to our interview not too long ago, from 2019, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, huh, wow, a lot's changed.
Yeah.
I think that's it's a cool archival thing that you're doing as well, for you can reflect on what you've done in an actual sense, like us talking, right? I think that's really neat. Yeah. Thanks for the talk. Thanks for bringing me on again.
Absolutely. There we go. What a chat. That was so fun talking with her. You know, after we stopped recording and we were just kind of fixing things up and winding things down with our conversation, we started talking about the fact that so many of the people that I've talked to on the show that have become very, very successful as bakers, and often women, have done a stint in restaurants and doing pastry and fine dining before they've opened up their own bakeries or bakeries and coffee shops and like chains of them. And I, when I talked with other bakers that have got, you know, multi-location bakeries and stuff now, they all did a turn working in a high-end restaurant and learning that side of the business and that side of their craft before going on to even bigger and better things. I'm just so happy for Tisha. I think she's in a wonderful spot with what she's doing right now. And she seems very happy and she's getting to be creative and really learning a whole new aspect of the trade. I don't know. I'm just going to make a prediction that this is going to be a springboard for even bigger and better things in her career. Because of all the folks that worked with us at Orange Boot and baked with us around there, she's one of the one of only a small handful of people that have really moved from this making this a job to a career, and I think there's big things ahead for her. I think there's big things for her right now, and so it was great to get this catch up. It was great to record it for you and share it with you, and so I hope you enjoy the talk. You know where to reach me, right? Mark with a K at riseuppod.com. Email me anytime. Head over to bakersforbakers.org. Join the community there. Great folks. Good advice. Good camaraderie. Really solid people. Go to riseuppod.com. There's 170 plus episodes that you can listen to. I'm spent. I have to go lie down now. Until next week, have a great week. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Work hard. Bake lots. Happy baking. Bye-bye.